All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Hump Day, welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, a Wednesday, March 13th edition of the show, streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, and as always, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. I was fired up when the Minnesota Wild covered a nice little puck line for me. Colby Cohen was fired up to survive his return to the ice last night. Colby, you sore this morning? You played your first hockey game in what, a decade?
It's something like that. I'm tired, but I'm not as that. My hips and my groins are better than I would have thought they would be. And the funny thing was when I was able to get my first point of the game, which was early in the first period, someone goes, "That's your first ever point as a Titan." And I said, no, it's my first point as a Titan in two decades. Okay. You can't forget about what happened three decades ago. So I survived it and I'm ready to go today. Lots to talk about.
Yeah, there is a lot to get to. Luke Gazdick's going to swing by in a little bit with the players' room, as we do on Wednesdays on the show. Also, we're looking for your inbox questions over on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, Colby. But let's start with some of the action from last night. The Detroit Red Wings, Clipped Wings is the title of the topic. They are in an absolute free fall, Colby. Six straight losses for the Wings. They're 4-6 now in their last 10, and it comes at a time just as the Islanders are starting to heat up. Even Washington has six wins in their last 10. A team like Buffalo's got six wins in their last 10 as well. But this Wings team, they've struggled basically since Dylan Larkin went out of the lineup. Since they lost their captain, they are being outscored on average 5.75 to 2. They aren't scoring. They aren't defending. They aren't getting a save. Does this Wings team have it in them to turn things around quickly?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about this team. And one of the biggest red flags to me about the Detroit Red Wings was that Steve Yzerman was incredibly inactive at the trade deadline. And I think we've seen over the years that he's got a plan and he's not going to rush it. And if he doesn't feel like his team is really there, well, he's not going to pull the trigger and make any moves. And I think that might have signaled to the locker room that, you know, they don't think that this team is really ready to go make noise. And I think that's the right decision, because if they get into the playoffs, I think it's going to be short-lived. But right now, with Patrick Kane only having 1 point in his last five games after basically being a point-a-game player since he signed with the Detroit Red Wings, things are not going in the right direction this time of year for the Red Wings.
No, not at all. Kane cools off. Larkin goes down with an injury. The goaltenders turn into a pumpkin, and it's just like one thing after another for the Detroit Red Wings. And it comes at a time again, is that Eastern Conference, the playoff race is getting tight. Like it, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever you want to call it, like the case for the Red Wings not buying was, well, you're probably going to get in anyways. And at this stage of where you are in the Iser plan, if we're still calling it that, it was like, yeah, don't go by. Just roll the dice with what you have here. It looked like a team that might be good enough to push and maybe win a round or take someone deep in round one. And now you sit there and you just go, man, maybe you should have went and got some support. There were forwards on the market and they weren't that expensive to acquire. It turned into a buyer's market late. I think Steve Yzerman might look back at that deadline and Wings fans might look back at that deadline as a missed opportunity for this team.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we'll see what he does this summer. I think it's a fascinating group to look at. They've got a lot of picks. They've got a lot of prospects. They're a team on the rise. What does Patrick Kane sign for? So there'll be something we talk about in the offseason with certainty.
Let's go from the wild card race in the East to the race for the top of the Metro. And the Canes were dealt a devastating blow in terms of their chances of catching the New York Rangers in the debuts for Gensel and Kuznetsov. They get shut out by the New York Rangers, a 1-0 final. Adam Fox with the lone goal. And now the Rangers have a 6-point cushion on the Canes for that top spot in the division, which would be big. You'd rather be playing a wild card team in round one. But I'll tell you what's probably the most concerning if you're another team in the Eastern Conference looking at this Rangers team right now. It's Igor Shesterkin getting hot. Back-to-back shutouts for the Rangers goalie after he really struggled for the first 4.5-5 months of the season. He's turned it around. His save percentage on the year is now up to a .914. He's only allowed 7 goals in his last 5 starts. If this guy can stay this dialed in, the Rangers are that much tougher of an out.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, myself included, were a little disappointed with the non-aggressive approach by Chris Drury, but I think he got burned being overly aggressive at the trade deadline last year. I didn't think he wanted to mess with team chemistry. You know, it's all about getting hot and peaking at the right time. And watching that game last night, I mean, that was a war of attrition. There was probably a 5 or 6 minute span in the third period where the game went up and down. Otherwise, you've got two teams that are stingy in the neutral zone, two teams that defend the house very well, two teams that manage the puck incredibly well. Neither coach wants to see their teams playing riverboat hockey, but at the end of the day, the difference was Igor Shesterkin, where Kochetkov played well. But at the end of the day, like, you've got to score goals. And I think Carolina, they're the ones who need to kind of figure it out with Gensel and Kuznetsov. I almost just combined their name. I don't know how that would have even come out of my mouth, but I caught myself doing it. I was going to say Kuznetsov. But I like the way the Rangers are playing. I really do. I think the little bit of distraction that Matthew Rempe has been over the last couple of days maybe is kind of off to the side at the moment. He didn't play last night because of his suspension. But right now, the Rangers look like the team that is most likely able to give Florida a run for their money.
What did you make of 4 games for Rempe? I know we're going to get into it with Luke Gazdick. I thought it was fair, especially when you compare it to some of the other suspensions.
Yeah, I thought 2 to 3 would be what he got. But I think people that I've spoken to around the league feel like it was a little bit of a message. They didn't want to get into that 5 territory. They didn't want to see an appeal coming back their way. Excuse me, that would be over 5 games. But I think they sent him a message that, you know, they don't necessarily like. I don't think anybody minds the fighting. It's the headshots. You know, he got away with the one against Bastian a couple of weeks ago. A lot of people didn't like that one, myself included, but I didn't think it was bad. You know, this one, you got to control your body. You just have to control it. And like I said, I thought it would be 2 to 3 games. I was off a little bit. But at the end of the day, no. When you see direct head contact, you can't be shocked at what the outcome will be from George Parros.
Last night, Connor Bedard had, the first massive night of his career. A 5-point performance for the Blackhawks super rookie and the odds-on favorite to win the Calder Trophy. And yeah, when you put up 5 points in a game, those odds are going to keep skyrocketing on Betano. He is just the third rookie since the 2020 season to have a 5-point game. The other two, kind of interesting, Michael Bunting and Anton Lundell are the only two other rookies to have five-point games in the last 4 years in the league. But Bedard had a great night, and also the relationship between him and Nick Foligno continues to make me chuckle. Let's take a listen to this great mic'd-up moment from the two on the bench last night.
There's so much to teach you, and I don't have enough contract time.
I didn't want to get a layup like that.
I'm going to have to stay in Chicago for like 5 years after I retire.
Colby, you spent time around that Hawks organization. How important is a guy like Foligno for that room and for a guy like Bedard?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Especially when you look at all the players that they've lost to injury this year, or Corey Perry, you know, being removed from the roster, you know, for that whole situation. So I think a guy like Foligno is the perfect mentor. He's not a threatening type of guy on the ice. He doesn't need to have the puck on his stick. He's going to look out for him. He's a consummate pro. He's been a captain in the NHL before. That relationship has been phenomenal. And I said a couple of weeks ago on my show when Bedard first got back on Morning Cup of Hockey that I thought, Brock Faber had closed the gap on that race. And I believed it. I got a lot of shit for it. But I truly believe the way Brock Faber had played, it became a little bit of a neck and neck situation. Well, Bedard has come back. He's lengthened the gap between him and Faber while Faber's continued to play well for his team. And he just shows last night that he's an 18-year-old kid that can put the worst team in the league on his back and find his way through a hockey game. He's got very little support. The team doesn't score a lot of goals. He's got 51 points in 52 games. I mean, on a team that does not score a lot of goals, he's got primary assist after primary assist. And last night was a big night, albeit against a bad team. It still doesn't matter. You're playing a game in the NHL. And so good for him to see him continue to live up to the expectations.
What do you think this summer looks like for the Chicago Blackhawks? You look nearly $40 million in cap space, a handful of guys coming off the books this year. Is it time for GM Kyle Davidson to maybe start being aggressive and try to put some high-end talent on this team through free agency, through trade? They have a bunch of draft picks over the next 3 years. Or do you think it's just, hey, stay the course and keep going with building up the youth?
Well, I think some of it depends on if they get Macklin Celebrini. I do, because I think that you enter another 18-year-old phenom player into your lineup and you have the two of those guys playing, especially if they're both going to be centers. I mean, there's your number one and number two center. Look, I don't foresee Kyle Davidson making big splashy signings. I think he's going to continue to go out. I do think you got to remember last summer they traded for Taylor Hall. Okay. They signed Corey Perry. They did try to surround him with other NHL caliber players. Okay. Not superstars, but NHL caliber players. Athanasiu's been out all year. Connor Murphy's barely played this year. These are NHL players. The injury bug has hit them hard, and the Corey Perry situation. Now they've only got five or six legitimate NHL players that would play on any team in the NHL. Most of their roster, probably in the American League on most teams. Alex Vlasic continues to grow his game. You still have Seth Jones. I think they'll sign guys. They'll have to get to the floor. So I think they'll go out. They'll find some guys who are looking for short-term deals, okay, who are, you know, they're willing to overpay to bring them to Chicago. And that's how I think that they'll fill out their roster. But I think at the end of the day, they're looking at Bedard. They're looking at Vlasic. They're looking at Frank Nazar, Oliver Moore. They're looking at Sam Rinzel. They're looking at their first round draft picks that they've picked. Okay. And that is the core that Chicago wants to build around. I think when those guys are ready, maybe not next year, but the year after, and those guys are starting to really come, I think that's when Kyle Davidson will go out and make some splashy moves and sign some guys and give them some long-term contracts. But I think this summer, it's going to be more of the Nick Foligno, you know, Taylor Hall, 1-2 year deal types of moves. Maybe a guy, you know, guy who thought he was getting an 8-year deal doesn't get it. Davidson says, come here for 2 years. I'll give you $6-7 million a year if you're worth 5.5. I think that's more what it's going to look like this summer. And I know Blackhawk fans don't want to hear that, but I just know from talking to Kyle and having him on our show, he is going to stay the course.
Interesting. If you were to get Celebrini, I think there is a very good case when you look at how impactful Bedard's been right off the jump to push some chips in. You have a very tight two-year window at that point where Bedard's on his ELC. You'd have Celebrini on his ELC. In today's game, young players can walk right into the league and be superstars like Bedard's shown us and like Matthews and McDavid showed us in the past. I think it would be a mistake to not take advantage of that.
None of those teams have won Stanley Cups being built that way. Just with those groups, you need that entire core offensively, defensively. When you can have look at how the Blackhawks had their success in their run. They had a group of players that all kind of came in around the same time. They built their games up and then they all became stars. They had five or six stars at the same time that were homegrown talent. And then they brought in Patrick Sharp. And then they went in and got Marian Hossa. They brought in those complementary star pieces to build around them. But I just can tell you, Kyle is committed to building from his core, building the core from within. And there's a group of five or six. It's going to get bigger this summer with their draft. But I just know that's what he is looking at building around. But we'll see. If they get Celebrini, we'll see. But I still don't think you're going to see him go out and give someone an $80 million contract and be free agent shopping with the biggest names on the market.
Okay, we went long on this. I wanted to do a little thing for our friends over at Betano. It's the percentage game, Colby. I went and dug up three futures bets. I flipped them into percentages. I want you to tell me if it's too high, too low, or just right. The first one I got for you, the Minnesota Wild making the playoffs. They are 7 points back of the Nashville Predators right now. They've won two games in a row, points in seven of their last 10. Betano has it at plus 550 or 15%. You giving the Wild a higher, lower, or is it just right? 15%.
I want you to look at my notes here. I put them at 15%. So I did that without looking. I swear to God, I did not look at Betano. I was thinking, what's a number that makes sense? Let me look at the schedule that they have. Let me look at how they're playing. 15% is the number that I came up with. So I think that's the right call. I would say it's not going to happen, though. I think it's really hard to make those types of points up this time of year when Nashville's 8-0-2 in their last 10. I do think Vegas is making the playoffs, so I just don't really see the path in. So I would take the under on that.
Second one I got for you is about the Tampa Bay Lightning. A lot of talk about who's going to get in between the Islanders and the Wings, but you kind of forget the Lightning are right in that mix there. They are by no way clearing away. I want to know percent chance the Lightning missed the playoffs. Betano's got it at 20%. Higher, lower, or just right?
Lower. I would say lower. I had 10%, and I thought that was generous when I just kind of came up with a number that felt good to me. I think they've got the gamers. I think they got the goalie. They got the coach. They'll be in the playoffs.
And last one I got for you. We're going to talk about both the Oilers and Canucks with Luke Gazdick, but let me throw this your way quickly. The Oilers catching the Canucks in the top of the Pacific Division. 10 points back, 3 games in hand, 1 head-to-head meeting between the two. Betano's got it at 20%. Higher, lower, or just right?
I would say a little bit lower. I had this one at 15% as well. I think the Edmonton Oilers have been streaky the way that they've played. They've reeled a lot off, and then they've had some slides. I think Vancouver hasn't played great, but making up all those points this time of year, when you get into some of these tougher games, I looked at Edmonton's schedule, Washington, Montreal, Buffalo, Toronto, Ottawa, Winnipeg, LA, Anaheim. There's winnable games there, but that's assuming Vancouver is going to lose a lot down the stretch. I would say under 20%.
All right, let's get to our big segment and continue this conversation a little bit with our guy, Luke Gazdick. Players Room is delivered by DoorDash, 20% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Dash that for the win. Let DoorDash handle the cooking this evening with that promo code NATION25. Luke Gazdick, former NHLer, Sportsnet analyst, host of the Mitts Off podcast, joins us as he always does. And Luke, I want to start with a question about the Edmonton Oilers. Frank and I, for weeks leading up to the deadline, were talking about this big Western Conference arms race that was coming. Dallas got Tanev. Vancouver made their move a while ago. Edmonton's move was to go get Adam Henrique. And we talked about that fit last week. But when you look back at the deadline, what everyone else in the West did the Oilers do enough to keep pace with those other teams?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I have a question first. Where did you guys both get those cool backgrounds? I feel like I got to change my whole thing up here. Like, it's my first year doing this. I got to get better. Honestly, guys, Henrik's the guy that we talked about a lot, especially on TV. He's a guy that I was very high on. Whoever was going to end up with him was going to be a very happy team. I had the opportunity to play with both guys they picked up front. I know there was three total, but I played with Adam in New Jersey and also spends a lot of time here in the summers training in Toronto, known him for a long time. And he's about everything you can ask for in a teammate and a hockey player. Honestly, plays the game hard, plays the right way. He's versatile. You can play him at center, play him on the wing. He's been starving for playoff hockey. Hasn't had much since all the way back to his rookie year with the Devs. And then Sammy Carrick's another guy too. I've been on his side for a long time. He was my captain in San Diego with the Gulls. All heart, plays tough. I think you've seen that already with his scrap in his first game versus Columbus, but it looks like they just didn't want to tinker too much. And that's kind of the thing that I was looking at with the Oilers was, were they going to do this money in money out thing where you're going to move out a significant roster piece for possibly an even bigger one. But I kind of like that they just tweaked it a little bit and they brought in some really, really good guys, not only on ice, but off the ice. And I think that's what Stetcher's going to bring on the back end as well, a little depth. So I don't mind what they did at all. I mean, the West really loaded up. It is an absolute gauntlet to come out of that conference this year. And I think I was going to say that the cup winner is probably coming out of the West, but by the time they get out of the West, like, they're going to be beat up. So I truly do like what the Oilers did. And I think it's going to help them down the line here.
Well, Luke, let's stay in the West a little bit. Yesterday, Tyler and I did Western Conference power rankings of how we see teams on day one of the playoffs, not necessarily who they are today, right? One thing we had exactly the same on our board was we both had Vancouver sixth. We did seven teams that we thought could win, okay? And we both had Vancouver sixth. We both gave reasons why. And I will spare everyone from a repeat of that, but I want to hear from you, Luke, thinking about how everyone else loaded up, what Vegas did, what Colorado did, who Dallas has been, Connor McDavid and the Oilers. Where do you see this roster going into the playoffs? And do you think we're crazy to have these teams down that, to have the Vancouver Canucks down that low?
No, I don't think you're crazy. I always laugh at the betting odds too. We do the betting odds on TV as a sponsored segment, right? And the Canucks are always pushed way down. And I just think it's because they're probably the least playoff battle tested, right? There's not a lot of guys on that team that you can say have been through it and done that. I wouldn't debate the six hole, but honestly, watching this team play, it's been something for me the entire year, covering them a lot, where they've kind of had to win me over. And watching them Saturday night versus Winnipeg, I was just, I'm consistently impressed by how they bring it almost every night. And that's a Winnipeg team that was 5-0 on back-to-backs going in there on Saturday night. And I know Rick Bonus said the Jets played their worst game ever, but I honestly have to give credit to Vancouver and how well they played. They just, I say play the right way a lot, but they roll four lines. They're strong down the middle. And for my money, this might be a hot take, but Thatcher Demko might be the best goaltender in hockey. I know there's a lot of talk about Hellebuck with everything he's done and the body of work he's accomplished. But watching Demko, it's a nightly display of athleticism and conditioning and just a great veteran presence in that net. Yeah. And I'm very, very curious to see how they do. This is going to be fun too down the line. They have 16 left. So I was looking, they got 16 left, 8 against non-playoff, but then we're going to see them play Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, LA twice, Vegas twice, and Edmonton. So a bunch of teams that they're going to have to stack up against. And this will be interesting to watch them finish the year here.
Well, Demko is going to be out for a couple of weeks with a lower body injury, but I do agree with you, Luke. Like he could be the best goalie in the league on any given night, former Boston College Eagle. I want to switch gears a little bit and pick your brain about the latest chapter of Matthew Rempe. Okay. Like it's well documented. He gets a 4-game suspension yesterday. We know the story. We know what he's brought. I argue with Johnny Lazarus on my show every morning where I think this guy has done a good job and he's had an impact, but he's also playing 5 minutes a night and he's had 2 5-minute major penalties. And I do think like that's a little bit of a problem. What's your take on the whole Matthew Rempe mania?
Yeah, there's a lot of levels to this for me. So on a personal side, I mean, I led the NHL in fights as a rookie at age 23 when I came into Edmonton. So I understand what the kid's mindset is. It's very hard for me to be hypocritical of what he's doing since I tried to do a very similar thing. I also did an elbow like 3 kids in the head in my first 3 weeks in the league. So what I see in Matt is a game like Jersey a couple nights ago. Like I fully think that he was probably under orders from Lavi not to be going McDermott there early, but I honestly probably would have waved those orders off and just gotten it over early with. If you're going to run around and, you know, the hit on Bastion is still in the back of those guys' mind,
yeah,
you're going to have to answer the bell. And I love what he's doing. That's why I'm saying it's tough for me to be hypocritical because I tried to do a very similar thing, but he's got to be smarter about the way he's going about hitting players and being physical is a good thing, but not really in the way he's doing it. I think this is a nice little wake up call for him. 4 seems about right. It's probably the cost of doing business for him, but I think it's a nice little wake up call. I think the league looked at the body of work that he had up to this point and decided to make, you know, a bit of a statement there with him. I also see, you know, Curtis McDermott's words after the game really kind of struck something in me as well, because I've been in that spot before, and I think he's almost projecting some frustrations of his own. He's out there and he was traded there specifically for essentially one major reason, is to deter things like that from happening. He is supposed to be the ultimate deterrent just from his sheer presence on the ice. So when you see a kid basically ignore or turn down your offer and then he goes out and does what he does and waves over, I mean, I don't have a ton of time for those antics after. So all in all, I mean, I love the energy and the spirit he's bringing, but he's got to be a little smarter and kind of try to figure this thing out as we go here.
The Players Room, delivered by DoorDash, Restaurants and More, delivered right to your door. Promo code top of the screen, Nation25. Luke, fantastic stuff as always, man. We'll chat again next week.
Sound good, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Luke.
Our hashtag AskDFO inbox question today is brought to you by Roll Up the Rim. Colby, it's back for Tim's 60th anniversary. And to celebrate their big year, you can win some big prizes, an all-electric Volkswagen ID4, sun-soaked Hilton getaways, and cash, cold hard cash with a daily jackpot of $10,000. So you can win big time when you go scoop up your daily double-double at Tim's. Play today on the Tim's app. Colby, your question, and this came in on the heels of our Hawks conversation. The bottom 5 right now in the NHL, pretty clear cut. You got the Yotes, the Blue Jackets, the Ducks, the Hawks, and the Sharks. Which one is the closest to coming out of their rebuild in your eyes?
Well, that's a good question. I probably have to go with either the Blackhawks or, yeah, I would say the Blackhawks. And here's why. Because they have Connor Bedard. Like, honestly, that is where I'm going to go with it. I thought about the Columbus Blue Jackets because they're loaded with prospects and they have players, but there's such a dumpster fire right now with no GM, a coach that was not hired to be the head coach originally, you know? So I think Columbus could be that, but I just don't think that they've earned the right to be called that because they've been such a shit show all year. And I think the Blackhawks have Bedard, and that's a huge difference maker. You've got the future best player in the world on your team blossoming right now.
Yeah. I mean, just having that box check, the superstar forward check, that's something those other teams can't really
generational flex right now. Superstar forward. Yeah. You know, I mean,
yeah, 100%. Let's move along to our daily bets for Betano, the 2023 EGR brand of the year for best sportsbook operator. The game starts now at betano.ca. Couple of plays for you here on a Wednesday night. I'm going full homer mode. Give me the Oilers on the puck line. Colby, I don't pick the Oilers a lot in this segment, but I'm looking at a team who's coming off a bit of a disappointing end of their road trip. They didn't play great in Buffalo. Pittsburgh, they bounced back a little bit. It showed me they were taking steps in the right direction. I think back on home ice, where they are 28-2 on the year, that's really good. And they're taking on a Capitals team now that's out on the road, where they are well under 500 on the year. Give me the Oilers to cover the puck line on home ice night against the Caps. And I'm going with a player shot prop under. And you look at Elias Lindholm and you're like, yeah, that's a good player. He probably shoots the puck a lot. You're getting plus money on under 1.5, which I know it's low, but he's missed his shot prop in 6 straight games and 8 of his last 10. I like this spot. You're giving me plus money on something that's happened in 6 consecutive games. I'm going to take it every day of the week. So those are my 2 plays brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Wrapping up with garbage time for Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. You can play along at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. I needed the Dallas Stars to get me one more goal last night. They failed me. I am out. Only 79 of the 491 contestants are still in this week over at the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. So those are your options for, I believe that is tomorrow's slate if you want to get in the mix. 349 nuggets as well. 349 for 6 nuggets. You can order today on the Wendy's app. Colby, garbage time. I want to give a shout out to Jordan Eberle. Played in his 1,000th career game last night. A guy obviously got his career started right here in my backyard in Edmonton. He was, and this makes me, I mean, not that I should feel old, I'm in my 20s, but he was the first ever player whose jersey I got as a kid. That was the first name I ever had on the back of a jersey. It was a Jordan Eberle.
Was that your decision or was that a gift?
It was what I asked for Christmas that year, because I would have been like 12 or 13, which is crazy. But big shout out to Jordan Eberle.
Yeah, good for him. You see these guys hitting 1,000 games. James Van Riemsdyk, my good buddy, did it last week. Eberle does it this week. Man, what an impressive thing that is. It really is. I think anytime you see a player hit that mark, you know that guy was a very good, consistent player in the NHL for a very long time.
There you go. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Jeremiah, shocker, Tyler picking against the Capitals. That's the theme all year. I don't know if I've been betting against the Capitals that much, but I'm sorry for coming off as a Caps hater, Jeremiah.
All I want to know is I will wait to decide if I'm riding with you on the Edmonton bet until BM's dog Frank makes his pick on social media today, and then that will decide how I go.
There is only one Frank in the Nation Network whose opinion we care about when it comes to things like that. It is not Saravalli. It is Frank the dog. Okay, that is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Big shout out to everyone in the YouTube. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.